Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Toronto Fall Film Festival season continues with Rendezvous with Madness, presenting docs and dramas, features and shorts about addiction and mental health, followed by in-person discussions. Festival begins on October 25th, but this week I'm looking at three new movies: a kids movie, a doc, and a horror film. There's a precocious girl looking for the unobtainable, a group of deranged gurus trying to hold on to the unsustainable, and a pop star who wants to escape the inevitable. Bookworm, co-written and directed by Ant Timpson. Mildred, played by Nell Fisher, is a young girl who lives with her mom in New Zealand. She loves reading, but hates school. Her desk is surrounded by leather-bound books alongside a microscope, a telescope, a typewriter, and a record player. She talks like a grown-up and is obsessed with wild animals. Her dream? To catch on film a black panther said to be roaming in the woods, along with a big fat cash prize for anyone who could take a picture of it. But her plans all change when her mother is sent to hospital in critical condition following an exploding toaster. That's when her biological father comes into the picture. He flies in from America to save the day. Strawn, played by Elijah Wood, is a professional magician. He prefers illusionist, who just loves magic. Things like making small things disappear or pulling coins from behind someone's ear. Most people are wowed by Strawn's prestidigitations and puppy dog eyes, but not Mildred. She scoffs at magic as juvenile and is quick to reveal all his tricks. The two are opposites at heart. If you say David Copperfield, she thinks of Dickens, while he thinks of the magician. Nonetheless, they are stuck together for now, so he agrees to take her camping. But little do they know of the exciting adventures and frightening dangers, like criminals, wild animals, and crazy escapades that lie ahead. Bookworm is a very cute coming-of-age adventure about two strangers put together to form a makeshift family. Feels like a cross between Roald Dahl's Matilda and Taika Waititi's Hunt for the Wilder People. It's shot in the New Zealand wilderness amid stunning mountains, cliffs, and lakes. Nell Fisher is adorable as the obnoxiously mature Mildred, while Elijah Wood is equally adorable as the man-child who won't grow up. I want to see this one because I love director Ant Timpson's bizarre debut, the violent comedy Come to Daddy. Bookworm is as different as any film could possibly be, but just as enjoyable. I like this one a lot. Monkey on a Stick, directed by Jason LaPere. It's 1965 and America is in high hippie mode. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada arrives in New York City from Calcutta. He's there to sell books, including his own translation of the Bhagavad Gita. But he ends up heading the Hare Krishna movement, a vast multinational phenomenon, a religion that espouses dancing, singing, and chanting mantras in order to achieve a better afterlife. After picking up many devotees in New York, the movement literally explodes in popularity once he reaches California. Allen Ginsberg endorses it, and George Harrison writes a song about it. Countless people join the religion, throwing away material possessions in order to dance, chant, and collect alms in airports. But when the Swami dies, he leaves behind 11 gurus. That's when things start to fall apart. This documentary, based on a best-selling book, exposes the crimes and excesses of the Hare Krishna movement. And shocking it is. One guru, in order to generate more money, sets up a drug ring of devotees instructed to smuggle hash from Pakistan to Canada. They have ties to the mob, leading to a series of crimes until this is finally exposed by the police. Another guru collects automatic weapons and eventually goes on a shooting spree in California. A third guru and self-declared Swami, the scariest of them all, and the son of a evangelical preacher, builds himself an ornate golden castle in West Virginia, while his disciples, who have given away all their worldly possessions, live in a shanty town beside the castle without basics like toilet paper or plumbing. He later plans murders and is suspected of molesting children. In fact, the movement as a whole is riddled with problems. Women are treated as inferior beings who distract male practitioners from their religious obligations. Homosexuality is strictly forbidden, as is all sex outside marriage, and heavy censorship prevail. No TV, magazines, newspapers, movies, or books are allowed, except their one official newspaper. And by the second generation, the 1970s and 80s, when most of this documentary takes place, kids are sent to schools with teachers who have absolutely no training. They lock kids in dark closets and dump them in trash cans as punishment, among even worse crimes. Monkey on a Stick is a documentary that looks at crimes of the Hare Krishna movement. It's told using talking heads, including many former devotees, also period footage, and many reenactments using actors who visually demonstrate what the narrators are talking about. There's also a series of random people, unidentified, who share their views on religion, God, and the afterlife. Though quite disturbing in parts, on the whole, it's a fascinating story that exposed events I had previously heard nothing about. Smile 2, written and directed by Parker Finn. Sky Riley, played by Naomi Scott, is a pop superstar about to launch a worldwide tour. She lives in a luxury apartment on Park Avenue and can buy anything she wants. She's busy 24/7 at dance rehearsals, talk shows, and autograph signings under the constant supervision of her stage mom, played by Rosemary DeWitt, and her PA, played by Miles Gutierrez Riley. It's her big comeback after a year of rehab. This followed a bout of addiction, culminating in a terrible car crash that killed her boyfriend and put her in intensive care. But a year later, she still suffers from intense pain. Pain so bad, she's forced to buy opioids on the sly. But everything changes when she witnesses her high school friend and drug supplier, Lewis, played by Lucas Gage, kill himself in front of her eyes in the most gruesome manner imaginable. And he dies with a rictus grin plastered on his face. That's when things really start to go bad. Everywhere she looks, she sees that awful smile. It's like she caught a disease by witnessing her friend's death. She starts seeing people who aren't really there and experiencing events that never happen, even though they feel so real. She begins to doubt her own sanity. It's like some alien presence has lodged itself into her brain. Her friends, family, and colleagues all look at her in a strange way, even as she fears she'll end up dead in just a matter of days with that same awful smile. Can she break this smile cycle, or is she headed for insanity and death? Smile 2 is a genuinely scary psychological thriller horror about fame, celebrity, and a deadly condition passed on from person to person. It's also one of those Hollywood rarities, a sequel that's demonstrably better than the original. Naomi Scott is terrific as Sky, a punky, self-centered celebrity. She's not just a horror movie screamer. She's a real character, complete with a psyche and a believable backstory. The movie itself is really well made, with beautiful art direction, cool choreography, and ingenious camera work and editing, where like a scene can flip elliptically from an elevator ride out to an overhead view of the street below. Okay, watch out. It's quite violent, so if you don't like blood and guts, stay away. But otherwise, Smile 2 is a really good, heart-pounding genre movie. Bookworm, Monkey on a Stick, and Smile 2 all open this weekend in Toronto. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.